Up next, the news you can use from YAA.
It's your 30-minute fix for all your car questions,
industry news, and tips you can use when buying your next vehicle.
We're your hosts, Ray and Zach Shufska, the founders of YAA.
We're here every weekday, live at noon Eastern. Check us out at joinyaa.com. Come on, get in!
So, Pops, will you give us a rundown of what we're doing on Daily News You Can Use?
The Daily News that you can use is a breakdown of what's going on in the automobile industry on a daily basis for everybody so that we can share industry insights and some tips and help people when it comes to knowing what's going on when it's time to buy a car.
Yeah, exactly. And Pops, you know how like you look usually at me right there? Now you're looking at everyone when you're talking into the computer, so it's perfect.
I'll take your word for it.
No, you're looking into our souls. Okay, so let's jump into the first topic for today, Dad. I'll share my screen in just a second, but we're going to kick things off with the chip shortage, right?
The who?
Yeah, like you haven't heard of this yet.
There's a chip shortage?
There's a chip shortage.
Can you fill me in?
There were two articles in Automotive News, and I will zoom in because I know the way that you like that. You like it nice and zoomed in. There were two articles in Automotive News that really spoke to this. Thought we'd walk through both of them. How's that sound?
Sounds good to me.
Okay, so we have this first one, chip crisis dashes industry hopes for post-pandemic sales recovery. The deeper we get into this, Dad, the more clear it is that we're going to have ongoing and lasting impacts from the chip crisis. New vehicle supply levels won't be at what we expected them to be anytime soon. And that was kind of the big takeaway from this article from Peter Siegel. There was a chart down here that I found especially interesting. It was from, there it is, from LMC Automotive.
Yes.
Black line representing, hey, this is what we think in terms of international, global vehicle sales. No pandemic. Then this was our expectation in blue for what we thought was going to happen, post-pandemic and in the current pandemic. And red was from back in June. And you can see things have just gotten kind of worse and worse in terms of that V-shaped recovery. It certainly isn't.
No. And there doesn't seem to be any speedy resolution to Chipmageddon. Merely because these are legacy chips that are older style semiconductor chips that are not nearly as profitable for these fab manufacturers to build as the newer chips are today. And when so many of the vehicle manufacturers canceled their orders at the start of the pandemic, these chip manufacturers moved that production capability to other higher profit margin chips to be built for other buyers. And they're not quite as interested in figuring out how to find more production capabilities for the auto industry when they're not going to make nearly as much money on those chips as they would on the other chips that they're producing. So it's a situation where the manufacturers sort of created it on their own, the automobile manufacturers, and the chip manufacturers have said, we remember you're the ones that canceled your orders. Why should we believe that you're going to want all the upcoming orders that you're trying to place now? And we're gonna put our resources elsewhere for the time being.
And Pops, the data backs this as well. There's another article, and I know we'll come back to the prior one because there was some more data in there that we want to pull out. But top global chip makers resist Biden's bid for supply chain data. If you hadn't heard, it was maybe 2 weeks ago now that the White House said that they were going to all the different chip manufacturers, automotive OEMs, and saying, hey, be transparent, give us the data. What's going on here? Is someone hoarding chips? Where are they? Calling up Frito-Lay even. I can't use your jokes. Your jokes are only good when you say your jokes. Anyway, but you're right, Dad. The lead times to actually get semiconductors from the tier one suppliers, those that are producing them, this chart from Bloomberg,
it
makes it crystal clear. The lead time now to receive a product to receive a semiconductor is 21.7 weeks in automotive.
Which is about 5.5 months from the time you say, hey, raise my hand. I need chips. Can I order some chips? And they go, okay, we'll accept your order. And maybe in 5.5 months, you'll start getting those chips.
And for those playing along on the podcast side of things, not looking at the charts, traditionally, that's been a 11, 12, 13, 14, tops 15-week lead time. So we're adding you know, a significant amount, 25%, 33% increase on top of what it previously was in terms of how long it takes to actually receive these supplies. And we did a live stream very recently, Dad, where we talked about and we looked at some of the lead times for specific chips. And then what's happening is that the actual suppliers are starting to jack up prices as well, right? So we're seeing unauthorized, you know, not the the typical dealers of chips, not car dealers, but the dealers and the supplier, distributors of chips are getting their hands on them, hoarding them, jacking up prices, causing everything to go up in price. And Dad, I know we didn't pull the article, but Elon Musk, Tesla's CEO, he said yesterday on an earnings call for Tesla, the third quarter earnings call, he said they've got a chip crisis and a ship crisis. And they need more chips and more ships to move things around. And they're raising their MSRP of vehicles because things are just more expensive.
Well, and that's going to continue. And part of the ship crisis is all the ships that are off the coast of California waiting to dock so that all the goods that are on those ships can be unloaded. And there's just not enough workers. There's not enough people that are interested in working. And yet, somehow, in September, we only added 174,000 new jobs in this country. Well, if there's millions of jobs out there and that are trying to be filled, where the hell are the people that actually want to work and make a living? I don't get it.
So this
can I share a quick example with you? When Lee Gottlieb and I were at dinner at the Crab Trap in Summers Point on Wednesday night, which is the largest restaurant I think I've ever been in. I've never seen a restaurant this big. God knows how many tables. And we said to the waiter, he says, "My God, it's, you know, you guys are really busy." He says, "You know what's," I said, "you must be loving it." He said, "Not really. You see this restaurant?" I said, "Yeah." He says, "We have one busboy. We can't get anybody to work as a busboy." But when we saw the busboy, he had the biggest smile on his face because he gets a percentage of the server's tips. And, well, he ain't sharing them with anybody other than himself because he's the only busboy. But my point is, all businesses are stuck in this conundrum of where do we find employees and why is it that people actually, I don't know, don't want to work and to be able to make a living. I just don't get it. So I'll stop there. I'm sorry.
Final note on the chip shortage, chip crisis, Chipmageddon. We'll provide more updates next week on Daily News You Can Use. However, IHS Markit is one of the largest international data suppliers globally, and they've upped their expectation of lost units to production or from the chip shortage to production from 9.5 million to 11 million units globally. We'll have another update from Auto Forecast Solutions next week as well. We'll touch on those numbers then. It is what it is. There's a chip crisis. There's a ship crisis. There's a lot of things going on. And you know what there also is?
There's not a big enough bull to make that much poop. There's not. And the unfortunate reality is the poop's only going to get deeper.
So, Pops, let's switch gears. Let's talk about one of the impacts that we're seeing on the consumer, because there are a lot of impacts on the consumer. Let me share the screen and let's pull up some data that you had shared with me from Automotive News that I found then the source data back on Edmunds, Pops. Monthly payments, average used car and new car monthly payments have hit all time highs. This comes from Edmunds, Dad. The nuts and bolts of this, I'll scroll down to the tables here at the bottom. And I know you. You like big restaurants, you like big mics, and you like big tables. Can you read that?
I do like big print, yeah.
Walk us through the data, Dad. This is
well, from cars first. Here's the scary part. For the first time in history, the average new car payment in America today has crossed the $600 a month barrier. Now, in quarter three of 2020, the average car payment when somebody got into a new car was $568. Today, it's $614. In quarter two of this year, it was $586. So it's not that it's going up a little bit. It's going up a lot of bit quickly. And the thing that I found most fascinating was look at the amount financed line.
This is insane.
Yes. In quarter two, the average amount financed was 35.7 of quarter two of this year. And now we're up to 37, almost 37.5. So that's an $1,800 increase from quarter two to quarter three. And when you compare it to quarter three of 2020, it is nearly a $3,000 increase in the amount of money that people have to put down. I assume there's a sound effect coming up. Okay. and the APR, even though the APR has come down slightly, okay, obviously the payments are up, and the amount of down payment people have to put down in order to get into the cars keeps going up. Now, what that indicates to me is that average people are going to find it harder and harder to ever get into a new car. Okay. So that new cars are going to be for a select few, and pre-owned cars and older pre-owned cars will certainly become the norm for the vast majority, because it's going to take people of extraordinary means to be able to keep up with this so that they can have payments that are somewhat affordable. Think about a new car payment that's $600+ a month. And on top of that, you have insurance, you have gas. I mean, it's suddenly that car is $1,000, $1,100, $1,200 a month total expense when you start figuring in depreciation, if we ever get that way again. But this is going to create a situation of the haves and the have-nots, and the haves, which will be a smaller number, will be able to afford new cars, and the have-nots will continue to be buying pre-owned cars, which could spell the reason why manufacturers are trying to figure out how to make all this work by manufacturing less new cars, because they know ultimately there'll be less buyers for them that can actually afford to purchase them.
Let's look at the used car data as well, Pop. Super interesting what's going on the used car side too. And just one general comment here.
Yes.
Look at these loan terms. I mean, we have normalized in our society a 70-month loan on a car. Dad, when you started in the industry, what was a typical loan term on a car purchase?
24 months.
Okay, so we are now, and you started in the business in what, the early 70s?
The late 70s, buddy, 1977. What, do you think I started as a toddler?
we've normalized extending out the period of time where you're in debt to own this vehicle.
Yes.
You're paying that off and you're paying interest. Dad, talk us through, and for those who are listening to the podcast afterwards and can't see it on the screen, talk us through what we're seeing on the used car side as well, please.
Well, just like on the new car side, the monthly payment is now, on an average used car, is now $500 a month on an average used car, and people are signing up to financing it for almost six full years at 69.6 months is the average. And that has gone up from quarter two, when it was 68.9 months was the average. But from quarter three of last year to quarter three of this year, the monthly payment has gone up $80 a month.
Across a 70-month term. That is insane.
What's 7 times 8? Is that like 56? So that's what, $5,600?
Carry the...
Yeah, trust me.
It's 56.
Yeah, I thought it was. And the amount financed in quarter three of 2020 was, on average, $23,235. And that amount has gone up by over $5,000. The average amount financed today on a pre-owned car is $28,634. And the down payment has gone up slightly. The average down payment's a little over $3,500. But you can see that used car prices have just been skyrocketing, and from everything we can see, will continue to do that.
All right. And that takes us to the next topic, Dad, which is the actual kind of used car prices are through the roof. We've never seen them higher. And quite frankly, they're a leading indicator for what I think. And I'm going to start waving the flag, or maybe I'll even start to sound the
the alarm. Oh, my God. Do I have to vacate the building again?
Inflation. It's not a fun word, but I think it's the reality of what we're seeing here, Dad. There were two articles. Both of them got the same exact source. So let's talk through each of them. Used car prices have never been higher on the wholesale side, and quite frankly, on the retail side too, than ever before. There was a New York Times article, dealers pay record prices for used cars, reversing a trend that pointed to an easing of inflation. And then from Automotive News, we have wholesale used vehicle prices hit record highs in September. Key Index says Cox, chief economist Jonathan Smoke, he's also referenced here in this New York Times article. He said
he's like us. He's everywhere.
Cox is everywhere. Jonathan's everywhere. You and I were everywhere.
Yes.
Said average wholesale prices have increased for 8 straight weeks through last week. You would know that if you tune in for our Black Book weekly market updates, which now will likely be a daily market update because we have a daily show through last week, and they do not appear to be at the peak for 2021. Let's scroll through this article, Dad, and kind of catch everyone up to speed on what's going on out there in the market. So wholesale values rose 27% last month as compared to September of the prior year, according to Cox Automotive's Manheim Used Vehicle Value Index. And month over month, we're up 5.3%.
Exactly. I was going to say from August to September, we had an over a 5% increase in wholesale values on pre-owned cars. Now, as we all know, neither Zach or I are particularly good at math, but if the average wholesale prices were to continue to rise at that rate at 5% every month, 5 times 12 is 60. So there would be a 60% increase in wholesale values in an annualized basis. These are supposed to be depreciating assets, not appreciating assets. So the whole thing is like turned on its head at the moment. I've never, and I have friends in the business, I have never seen anything quite like this. Just a perfect storm between the ship crisis, the chip crisis, just shortages everywhere that have come together to use your word, to create this inflationary period of time that we find ourselves in.
And let's look at a little bit more of the data, Dad. This comes from, and here's Jonathan Smoke, the chief economist, his quote, basically, the odds favor more increases between now and spring because we're still in a very supply-constrained market in total in both the wholesale market and the new vehicle market, Smoke said, adding that relatively high sales conversion rates continue to suggest aggressive buying by dealers. The sales conversion rate at Manheim was 65% last month. It was at 52% in September of 2019. Dad, the sales conversion rate, that's the number of vehicles that actually make it across the line.
The block.
The block.
Yeah, the block, the auction block, not the auction line. Yeah.
And actually get sold.
Yes. Yes. And that's because dealers are desperate for vehicles. If you are a franchise new car dealer and your manufacturer is telling you, we don't know when we're going to be able to produce at a reasonably high enough level to be able to stock your lots with new cars. So we suggest, as the manufacturer, we're suggesting you get heavily involved in the used car business because that's going to be your only source for sales in the future. Well, then everybody runs out and says, okay, we gotta buy used cars. And they're all going out there paying what we would normally consider to be way too much money for these cars. But when you can't get your hands on cars, it's not really way too much money. It's the money it takes to actually buy them. And those high wholesale prices will be reflected in even higher to come retail prices down the road.
Yep, yep. And Igor with a great comment with regards to rougher condition vehicles making it across the line.
Yes.
Getting across the block.
Yes.
So we have an increasing sales rate at the auction on increasing prices for vehicles on rougher condition used cars because we're digging up more and more inventory because we're running out of traditional supply chains for used vehicles. It is scary. And then the New York Times, the way they were looking at this is the CPI index and what the Fed looks at. I mean, vehicle prices are a primary leading indicator of inflation.
Yes.
And there was some hope. Remember, we went, this is 8 weeks ago. We were at the tail end of what was it, a 5 week period of decreasing wholesale used car prices.
Yes.
And now we are on 2 months straight of increasing wholesale used cars prices. And the scary thing is it looks worse than it did 12 weeks ago. It really, really does.
Yes, there appears to be no end in sight for the situation that we find ourselves in at the moment. There's still demand. There's still a need because the dealers need vehicles. The consumers out there need vehicles. And the prices are just going to continue to skyrocket until this gets all sorted out, which could be, you know, we were saying 6 months ago, 12 to 18 months, and we still feel 6 months later that it could still be 12 to 18 months before we start to see any situation where it starts to mitigate what we're in. And, you know, maybe 18 months from now, we'll still be going 12 to 18 months. I don't know.
StopBuyingCars.com. We recommend you check that out. But if you need to, emphasis on the word need. To buy a used car right now, pre-purchase inspection is something you absolutely, unequivocally have to do.
Because there's
rougher conditioned vehicles out there. And if you're going to buy a vehicle service contract or an extended warranty, get a free quote back at joinyaa.com. We're here to help. We vetted. We make 500 buckaroos when we sell one. So support us and also get a fair deal if you are.
And we're not saying that you should buy one.
Nope.
But if you think it is in your best interest to buy one, at the very least, look at our quotes so that even if you don't want to buy it from us, you can use our quote to negotiate with whoever you might want to buy it from. We're not in the business just to be able to sell extended service contracts for used cars. We're in the business to try and help educate and inform consumers when it comes to all these various and assorted topics that are associated with buying a car.
That was pretty good, Dad. I feel like you got a little wordy at the end there. It was like a very strong start to that. Like you had me going, and then it was like
then it kind of trailed off to what the hell am I going to say next?
Yeah, and you were and your cadence slowed down too. So it's like it's really thinking, and that's what you.
Here's the problem. When you get to a certain age, words start just leaving your brain. You know they're in there somewhere, but they play hide and seek with you. And that was one of those cases where, the words were playing hide and seek, and I was seeking, and they were hiding better than I was seeking.
Down goes Shevska! Down goes Shevska!
Pops, let's switch gears here. We had a very interesting news article that popped up on my feed, and I thought we should bring it up for the YAA community as well.
Yes.
We have a lot of questions that come into us from time to time about, hey, should I let a dealer run my credit? You know, when should I let the dealership run my credit? Here's an article from the Eagle Tribune up there in the great old state of Massachusetts. I hope Melissa's on the stream and maybe
listen. It has to do with a dealer from Rhode Island, though.
Correct, correct.
Yes.
Former Lawrence used car dealer pleaded guilty in $2.4 million fraud scheme. Pops, I'm going to read this out to you, and then I want your take on how consumers can protect themselves in situations like these and how often these types of things are going on. And here, let me help you out here. I'll make it bigger.
Yeah, make it giant-sized.
A gentleman named Rolanda Estrella, a 32-year-old of Dracut, admitted he recruited, employed, advised, and directed others to file fraudulent used car loan applications, open bank accounts, deposit fraudulently obtained used car loan checks, and execute cash withdrawals on the fraudulently obtained funds, according to a statement released by the acting U.S. attorney, Richard Myris.
My God, sounds like somebody that's hoping to run for Congress someday.
There were 9 individuals named in the indictment that was returned back in February of last year. And there was a heck of a lot of money being spent, $2.4 million, opening bank accounts with major banks and smaller credit unions using the individual's information that they got from credit
their applications. Credit applications, yes. And that, and I have worked in dealerships where there have been instances where an employee might have, okay, where an employee stole some customer information, date of birth, social security number, in an effort to obtain a loan on their own using that customer's information. It can happen. It shouldn't happen, but it can happen. You know, there's just no telling what somebody might be capable of. You do your best to run background checks, to question the integrity of the people that you hire. But that doesn't preclude some from doing things that they shouldn't. And in automobile dealerships, credit applications with personal information are everywhere. The salespeople gather that information so that they can share that with the sales manager, so the sales manager can run a credit report. That information then gets shared with the finance manager. Ultimately, all that stuff gets packaged up and it goes to the accounting office. I mean, God knows the number of hands and eyes that get to handle all of this information. And I don't know of a really good way to protect it so that unscrupulous people out there won't do what this gentleman and his team of nine other cohorts did in fraudulently obtaining loans in people's names and taking that money and putting it in their own pockets.
Now, one of the things that we always recommend you can do is, you know, a Google search, whether it's a Google search of a VIN, a vehicle identification number, or a dealership. And
yes.
So just to give some perspective here, Estrella National Auto, they are actually open right now at the time of us doing this live stream. Go to the Google reviews, right? And this is 3.8 stars, which for a used car lot is actually like pretty
good. Yeah.
The thing is, read some of the reviews, right?
Yeah.
You know, the owner is a joke, purchased a car with heater coil issues, was never properly fixed, really careless and terrible. Owner just got indicted for wide-ranging ID theft fraud ring that involved this dealership. Like, I kid you not, this is still an operating, you know, business evidently. Read the reviews. I mean,
yes.
This is the best thing that you can possibly do. And the Better Business Bureau, right? I mean, we very recently produced a video back on the YAA YouTube channel about Vroom. We're not in any way, shape, or form suggesting what's going on at Vroom is anything like what happened here with this individual who got indicted for fraud. However, read the reviews. Go to the PCB. And in the future, we're going to definitely work on YAA reviews so that community members can share information about particular dealerships with others. And I guess, Dad, one question I have for you is how frequently does this happen? Like, there are tens of thousands of used car lots like
okay,
this.
Here, I'll answer that easily for you. How many days are there in a year?
7 times 8 was 56.
Yeah, say 365. That'll be 365. Close enough. That's how often it happens. Every day. Every damn day. Unfortunately.
Pops, let's close out on a happier note of sorts. We had some really interesting news from our dear friends over at
Tesla.
I mean, I feel weird saying that because we don't know anyone at Tesla.
I don't know anybody at Tesla. And there are people that think that I hate Tesla. I don't hate Tesla. I just don't think they're as forthright as perhaps maybe they should be. That's all. I could be wrong. Okay. But I think they're for those who are interested in electric vehicles, hey, they're moving the needle pretty well.
There's another company out there, Rivian. We were thinking of talking about them today. They're about to go public.
Yes.
And fascinating. Amazon owns over 10% of Rivian. Ford has really deep roots within Rivian as well. And they're losing about $1 billion a year. So incredible.
It worked out pretty well for Amazon when they were losing that kind of money.
So, Pops, let's read the headline here from Tesla. They're moving their headquarters from California to Austin, Texas.
Yes.
I find this super fascinating for a few reasons. There are a couple justifications for it. Primarily the fact that, you know, that Elon Musk has he's moved to Texas. He's now a Texas resident, not a California resident. So I just find it fascinating that we can put the headquarters really close to wherever the CEO goes. And also there's widespread investment from Tesla in the state of Texas.
Yes.
Production of different vehicles, batteries, et cetera.
Yes.
It's primarily what I've been able to read out of it. It's just expensive to have employees in the state of California. It's really expensive.
But they have plenty of employees in the state of California. I think the easiest reason to come up with as to why Tesla's moving their headquarters to California and why Elon moved to California is they don't have a personal income tax in Texas, but they do in California. The highest personal income tax, state income tax in the country. So not that a lot of billionaires pay a lot in taxes. Well, maybe they do, but in relativity to what they have, it's a very small percentage. But this is just a way for him to save more money. And, you know, can I hate him for that? Absolutely not. I mean, hey, I try to figure out ways to pay less taxes. You try to figure out ways to everybody and their brother tries to figure out ways to pay less taxes. I don't know anybody that's running around saying, "Woohoo, I want to pay more." So it just makes sense from that perspective for them to move the headquarters to Texas.
Definitely, definitely. No, it really does. And yeah, you know, but I got to tell you, like, no income tax makes sense, personal income tax, but also the housing, the cost of housing for the employees, drastically different. I mean, it's expensive in Austin and that area, but I was doing some research. I was like kind of comparing comparable homes. There was one I was looking at, and it was in the Fremont area, and it was like $1.3 million for two bedrooms, and it was like $400,000 in Austin area.
You can't find an affordable outhouse in California, okay, in the Silicon Valley. You just can't. So, yeah, I mean, you have to, if you're not necessarily going to pay your employees a living wage, then you need to do that in areas where it's a little cheaper for people to live.
Yeah, completely agree. Completely agree. Well, Pops, that is news you can use for October 8th, 2021, the things going on in the auto industry right now, and the takeaways for all of us that are at home thinking, what the heck do I do in this environment? You got any parting shots before we...
Well, I know what to tell people to do in this environment. Tune in Monday. Yeah, it's the weekend, buddy. You're supposed to leave them with a hook, a reason to come back. Tune in Monday, and we'll explain to you what it is that you'll need to do during times like this.
Actually, a good kind of like opportunity to foreshadow. Next week, we'll likely have updated market day supply data for all the different manufacturers. So stay tuned for that. That'll be awesome once we have that information. Updated incentive info as well. And likely, obviously, more data around the chip shortage too. So we'll keep you posted on all of that. And plus, maybe we'll even have a guest join us. Maybe some industry experts, one or two. We'll have to see.
I like that. I like that. Yeah.
Cool. Well, we were about to sign off, but we got a very thoughtful donation here from Mike D. So let's acknowledge this.
Well, there was Mike
earlier as well. So I'll run back and grab that. Mike, with $20 contribution to YAA, I just wanted to say you guys are rock stars. Wow. Thank you for helping my wife complete my birthday month by wishing me a happy birthday. Oh,
it's Mike Donaldson, ladies and gentlemen.
Keep up the fantastic work, Ray and Zach, because of what you do. You are helping thousands. Yes. Happy birthday for your birthday month.
May this anniversary of your birth be the best ever until, well, we do it again next year, Mike.
Daily news you can use, podcast, Apple's podcast, Stitcher, here on YouTube, back on Twitch, over on Facebook Live.
Definitely. Yeah, we're on Tinder and Hinge as well. God. I think the only one we're not on is J-Date.
See you guys on Monday.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
Join us again next time,
which is probably tomorrow,
to get the news you can use from YAA. YAA is your trusted source for all things auto. Thanks for listening.
See you soon.